The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up on the Radio Today programme this week, we'll hear from Mike Carr, formerly of Five Live and BBC Sport. He's put together a team and got some funding to run a new podcast network with some quite big ambitions. Find out more about the Crowd Network later in the show. And at the end, David Lloyd here with Radio Moments, including this week, birthdays for Radio Air and Kiss, some big announcements preparing for wartime on the radio, and how radio covered the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, including thoughts from Radio 1's Mark Goodyear.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
First, Radio Today's founder and editor, Roy Martin, is back with us for another week. Hi, Roy.
How do? How are you?
I'm all right. Yes, nice bank holiday weekend. It was lovely and sunny in Yorkshire. And thanks for all the nice comments about Trevor and his departure from the Radio Today programme from last week's episode.
I know. Trevor has gone. Maybe he will return. We had an official complaint, actually. Did you see this on Twitter?
An official complaint?
I think it was tongue-in-cheek, but the Anthony Davis on Twitter, off of the radio, said, "I'm very sad about this and wish to make an official complaint!" Exclamation mark. Oh. Trevor was always prepped, knowledgeable, and had great capacity to listen. We'll especially miss his interviews. Such a pro. That's Anthony Davis, the former BBC and veteran LBC Late Show host, so says his profile. Sorry, Anthony, I didn't realise he had a fan club of...
And so what's he saying? He's saying Trevor was always thoroughly well prepared and did great interviews. Well, none taken.
Stuart is also very well prepared and good at this kind of stuff. And we have exciting news to bring you very soon, as long as I've worked it out in the next couple of days. We have somebody else joining us on this very podcast to do a monthly feature to replace the round table. I'll tell you more about that. As soon as I can sort it out, basically.
Oh, well, that's literally breaking, because I don't know anything about that yet. So thanks, boss.
No,
I'm
not.
It's good for you to tell all the rest of the podcast listeners before you tell me.
Well, you know, you want your contract says you must have at least 1 week off a month.
Yeah.
So we need to do something else. And I found just the person for it.
Excellent.
Sounds very exciting, doesn't it? And it is very exciting, because this person is... this person is very good at what she does. So I shall reveal all... very soon.
I'm excited about that. Right. I suppose we should crack on with some chat about stuff that's been happening this week. And it's all about GHR, Greatest Hits Radio. It was coming. Now it's come. How was it for you?
That is disgusting. Do you know, we're in the posh parts here. You should say arrive.
Sorry. Okay.
Arrived.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know what? You know, it's difficult. It's difficult because... It went all right. I think I was expecting bells and whistles and a dog. So I just got the dog in the background. But it was all right. It was all right. I mean, obviously with these things, when you're putting together 368 radio stations for the first time together, then there's going to be some teething problems. And there were. But yeah, it happened. And it can only get better, as Doreen once sang.
And lots
what
of...
about you?
I haven't really heard any of the news station because I've been busy with my own, but just drop that in there. I did hear lots of clips on Aircheck downloads of people saying goodbye all of last week, pretty much, and then every day over the weekend. And so there was lots of audio, and it was a mixture of people crying, people quite kind of emotional and teary about it, and some people, you know, just saying everything you needed to say in a quick 10-second donut and getting on with it.
There were some very emotional bits, and I thought the end of Radio Air was a bit disappointing. After 40 years of what would have been its 40th birthday on the day it died, it was just, I mean, no disrespect to Hattie. Hattie did a split link, basically, because she was on the network at the time. And it was quite a long link. It was a nice link. It was a beautiful link. But it was just a link. You know, you'd have thought there would be something extra. But that's just the way it is these days, I guess.
Yeah, and Magic is back in the north, in Hull or somewhere. What's going on there?
I have no idea. Can I just say, this is our second take, and in the first take that we've just deleted, we got it all wrong because it's so confusing. So I'm just going to say I have no idea what's going on.
Well, I think I know. I think I understand what's going on in Hull a little bit. So Magic is back on 1161 in Hull, but it's the Magic 105.4 from London with Harriet and and the guy at a Boyzone. It's not the oldies magic that used to be on 1161. This is getting confusing again, isn't it? But in Hull, they've got Viking, which is Hits Radio's network. They've got Greatest Hits Radio, but that's not owned by Bauer, that's owned by Nation. And so its drive time programme isn't the Yorkshire Regional drive time programme, it's the special one that's on the old KCFM frequency that Nation are producing. And as a result of that, they've gone, this is going to be very confusing in Hull if we've got another Greatest Hits that's got different programmes and things, so let's just get rid of Greatest Hits Radio on medium wave, and they've put Magic on instead.
So I thought this happened in Leeds based on a source, but I was wrong and got slated for it on Digital Spy, so thank you for that. But we corrected in the end and said it was just Hull that has random Magic from London on. And it gets even more confusing when you're in somewhere like Lancashire, where you also have Greatest Hits Radio coming to Lancashire on FM, but it's already on AM and has been for a while. And then don't even get me started about the South Coast between Bournemouth and Southampton, where you've got such a mix of radio stations. What was the question?
I can't even remember now.
Let's move on from Greatest. What did you? Oh, you haven't listened to it, have you?
Okay. I haven't listened. Well, I heard one link on Tuesday morning, and Rossi was talking about the kids going back to school, and I was thinking, well, the kids around here don't go back to school well next week, so there's national programming delivered locally for you.
Yeah, it's the same here. I mean, everybody was saying it's the back to school day, back to work day, and I thought, well, no, it's not. I've been working nonstop, and the kids are still off for another week, so I just hate it when that happens. But, you know, that's every other presenter in the world as well, isn't it? So yeah. You can't fault Simon for that.
No.
Thing Simon did do was he's recorded a split link for every new radio station, and he's voiced it over a bed for, like, the top of the hour or the bottom of the hour. But he's done it in a voiceover style. So he says, "This is your new station for Salisbury." And then he comes on and talks normally and does a link, and that sort of thing grates on me a little bit. So, Simon, if you are listening, could you redo them, please, just for me? Go on. You know, and yeah. Anybody else who does pre-recorded links as a voiceover, I know it's hard.
Yeah. I haven't heard those, and we've had this discussion on here before, and I've not really noticed those. But it does kind of, you know, generally speaking now, and I'm not talking about any individuals at all, but there are some people, when you voice track or pre-record things, they sound pre-recorded rather than sounding live, whereas some people are really good at doing pre-recorded stuff that sounds live. And it's mm-hmm. It's getting that. It's quite a skill, isn't it, to get into that I sound live mentality, even though you're actually not.
It is a skill, and part of the trick, which I voice track a show every day, and I hope I'm getting better at it every day, but part of the trick, if you can, is to try and voice it kind of in real time, so you're doing it at the same time as the show. If you can't do that, then imagine, you know, is it dark outside, is it probably going to be raining, or what's on the TV at the time. That try and get your mind set into that particular time of day or whatever. But it is hard, it is a skill, and it's the future, because most radio stations are going to be voice tracked, aren't they, going forward, I think.
Yeah, and just to say about social media as well, for Greatest Hits, I've been keeping an eye on some of them, and yeah, they changed all the names and they changed all the profile pictures and banners, and attracted a lot of comments from listeners going, right, that's it, I'm unfollowing, I don't like this rubbish anymore. It's, you know, this has happened so many times before with Heart and Capital and things. People don't like change, but, you know, these stations will get listeners. You know, it's going to be different to what went before, but somebody's going to listen.
It's just going to be different listeners, and the figure that will matter in 5 years' time is the network figure. It won't matter if there's, you know, 10,000 people less listening in Dorchester, because that doesn't really matter. It's sad, and there's going to be a huge flurry of new stations trying to fill that gap in the market. But, you know, you can see where Bauer's going with this. It's all about the national number, the national figure, and of course, the national sales. So losing a few local listeners along the way, the vocal ones on Facebook, it probably doesn't matter that much to them.
No. Right, let's talk about the other big story of the week, which is small-scale DAB. We've been talking about it on this podcast for about 5 or 6 years or something now. Finally, Ofcom this week has announced it has opened the application process for 25 small-scale multiplex areas. They are Alnwick and Morpeth, Basingstoke, Bradford, Derry, Cambridge, Cardiff, Clevedon, Avonmouth and Filton, Dudley and Stourbridge, East Bristol, Edinburgh, Exeter, Glasgow, Inverclyde, Isles of Scilly, King's Lynn, Leeds, Newcastle and Gateshead, North Birmingham, Norwich, Salisbury, Sheffield and Rotherham, South Birmingham, Tynemouth and South Shields, Welsh Valleys and Winchester.
all the big places then.
So it's, yeah, a nice spread around the country. No, not Silsden yet. No, we don't get it here yet. So yeah. Lots of groups putting together applications for these. I think this is, 12 weeks, so you've got till the end of November or something to apply for them. But I think there's going to be a lot of demand for this.
You know, it's like a whole new marketplace opening up for local radio. There's going to be such a different kind of radio, isn't there, going forward? So many smaller stations with big ambitions, of course, like your own, you know, that serves three small towns in Yorkshire. And you'll probably, well, your aim, I'm guessing, is to end up on, well, you said as much, to end up on DAB. So these small-scale multiplexes are going to be full of small, locally run stations, but with loads of local content, in theory.
Yeah. And we're getting some good feedback for our station, which I was on the podcast a few weeks ago talking to Quentin about. And, our listener reaction is good. They're loving our mix of music. They're loving the local stuff that we're talking about. And, it's about sounding and being more local. I think the way media has changed, people want hyper-local stuff. They want things about their town. They're not bothered about, the town that's 20 miles away. County-wide stuff, regional stuff. People want either decent national things or something really super local to them. And that's what we're trying to achieve. And it's going all right so far.
I agree. Yeah, there'll be two types of radio in the future, the national ones and the very local ones. Now, these multiplexes, they have to carry. Now, last time I looked, it was three community radio stations. And you told me earlier this has changed.
Yeah. So now we've seen the full detail. This is what Ofcom had previously said, that, reserved space would have to be maintained for CDSP license holders, which could be an existing community radio station, or it could be a new community radio station getting a digital only community license. And so they'd said on every multiplex, at least three will have to be reserved. And that was part of the big consultation that they ran on this a little while ago anyway. But now we've seen the detail from Ofcom this week with the formal opening of the license application process. They've actually detailed for every one of those 25 areas that I've just mentioned how much space needs to be reserved for CDSP, so community license holders. In some areas, it is three. In some, it's as many as seven.
What? Seven. Are there actually seven community stations in some places, or are they anticipating there's going to be loads more in these places?
Yeah, well, I guess they must be expecting some more people to start community stations because, if you look at them, Cambridge, it's a fairly small geographic area that just kind of circles the city centre and gets out as far as Histon and Fulbourn, if you know Cambridge. But, there's, a couple of community stations in Cambridge. There's a student station. There's a couple of community radio stations as well in the city itself. But six spaces for community services have to be reserved out of the, 20 spaces that there might be on that multiplex. It does seem a little bit excessive. And it means, that those services might not be then full, because the multiplex owner has to reserve some just in case a community license holder comes along and wants some space.
So they have to keep those six spaces free. They can't sell them and then take them off somebody if somebody comes along with a community license, or is it?
I'm not the expert, but I understand that to be the case. So seven as well is in Bradford and in Leeds, and I think in Glasgow as well. So that's potentially a third of the multiplex space has to be saved for community stations. And of course, if Nation wins some of these, Nation have said they'll give free space to community broadcasters. So they're essentially giving away a third of their multiplex. And is that multiplex then going to be viable financially?
Are they still going to do that? Are they literally going to give away at least seven places to community radio stations? I guess we'll get them on the podcast and ask at some point. I saw also that the Scilly Isles have got a multiplex coming up. How many community radio stations do you think there will be for the 2,153 people who live on the Scilly Isles, Stu? Called you Steve, right?
Thanks, Ron. We've only known each other 20 years. That's very kind of you. On the Isles of Scilly, there's only really a couple of radio stations that cover that at the moment anyway, isn't there? Radio Scilly and probably BBC Cornwall.
Well, yeah, there's only one station there, Radio Scilly. But three community radio stations have to be reserved on that multiplex.
Well, that's just silly.
Yay! Bonkers. So and each one of them have their own specified number, you say, of how many have to be reserved. I suppose it's a case of fill your boots. If you want a community radio license now and potentially free carriage on a nation multiplex, now's the time to fill your boots, isn't it?
Yeah, but then, you know, the flip side of that is because, you know, on these new multiplexes, you can easily get a commercial radio license to go on one just as easily as you can get a community license to go on digital only on small scale DAB. Then, you know, the choice is there. And if you want to make money at it, commercial might be the way to go. Whereas obviously your CDSP license, you're restricted to being a not-for-profit organisation.
But then if you had a commercial license, you'd have to pay for your carriage. So if I got a community interest license for Jingle Mad Radio and stuck it on DAB in Winchester, if Nation, for example, won that license, multiplex, I don't even know if they're going for it, but if Nation end up with that one, and I come along and say, I'm community station for all anoraks in the area, can I have my free slot, please? Is that going to happen?
Yeah, well, maybe, but good luck with the PRS for all those jingles. That's all I'm saying.
It's all agreed. It's all fine. I've got written agreements with all the composers. It's fine. Moving on.
Excellent. Well, yeah, so that's small-scale DAB. I think more cans of worms opened by some of the things in that Ofcom document this week. But obviously, you know, busy time now for anybody who's applying for those multiplexes or stations that want to go on them in this first phase. Next year is going to be the second phase, which is the northwest of England and northeast Wales, and lots more multiplexes will come up in that area, which I think will be early in 2021. Exciting times.
It's going to take forever, isn't it? It's going to take 5-6 years for all the areas to be done, and then they'll probably do more.
I guess so. And as well as all the greatest hits radio presenters leaving this week, there's been a few other people who've left as well. Roger Phillips, long-serving presenter at BBC Radio Merseyside, did his last show on there. There's also Dick Stone, who's been at Radio Trent, as was Ram FM and Trent FM, and obviously working for Smooth more recently at Global. He's now left the company after 33 and a half years in Nottingham. And the other thing as well to say is that there's a new director general at the BBC this week. Tony Hall did his last day in Cardiff, and Tim Davey has taken over as BBC director general, and he spent his first day in Glasgow.
Why not get it in the regions, the nations, rather.
And I think later this week we're going to hear from Tim Davey with his plans, his mission statement for what he's going to do with the BBC. So he's doing a big announcement, I think, later this week. So we'll watch out for that.
It's good to have a guy we know in charge of the BBC. Not we know personally, but a guy who knows radio quite well. And he's up for lots of radio stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. Good luck to Tim.
Maybe let's get the Pepsi chart back on Radio 2 at Sunday afternoons at 4, perhaps. I don't know.
What?
right. We're going to chat about podcasts here on the podcast in a few minutes. So stick around with us for that. And, oh, you know, you had a bit of exciting news about a new host joining us on the Radio Today programme. Next week's podcast, we have a legend on.
What? Another one?
Yes.
It's going to get crowded.
big-headed much. No, we have somebody who's written a book about their life in radio and audio, and they are going to be with us on the podcast next week, and it will hopefully be a hoot. So make sure you join us for that next time.
Can I just say, before we go, and I know we've been talking a lot longer than we actually planned to. We said before this week's podcast.
Let's make it a quick
one. Let's do a quick one and go to bed. It's late. Can I just say, this weekend is a very, very special birthday.
Ah, Freddie Mercury would have his birthday on Saturday, wouldn't it?
Is that right? Is that who you share your birthday with? You
know, it is.
You've done that link before. Our very own Stuart Clarkson here will be 40 years young on Saturday.
Can't possibly be the case, never.
So I expect lots of birthday tweets and Facebook messages and lots of abuse hurled at Stuart. Nice abuse on Saturday for turning 40. Now, normally in our small group of friends, we go absolutely mad on every birthday, especially big ones like 40. But this year with coronavirus, we've done sod all.
So, oh, you know. What? Right.
Sorry about that. Don't expect anything.
There's no Power of Roy video or anything like you got then?
There's no Power of Stew, nothing like that. So, yeah, I apologise in advance for that. But, you know, we'll make it a good one next year for you.
Oh, well,
promise.
Next year, everything's happening next year, isn't it? Yeah, all right.
I know.
Well, thank you very much for your kind words. And I look forward to the torrent of abuse about how I'll soon be losing my hair and things like that.
Oh, happy 40th. Are you still in lockdown there, or are you okay now?
No, we're moving out of our local lockdown, actually, this week. So just in time for my birthday.
Fantastic. All right. Well, have a good one, because I won't see you. If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window. No, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Roy.
Goodbye now.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. This is the Radio Today programme, and this week we're talking about a brand new podcast company. There are many podcast companies around, but this one has a big aim. It says it's going to be Europe's largest on-demand network, or it hopes to be at least. Let's talk to the CEO. It's Mike Carr. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Stuart. You okay?
Not too bad. So we'll talk about this new company in a second. First, people might know you from your time at Five Live, award-winning editor of Five Live Sports. You left there earlier this year after a couple of decades at the BBC to set up this new project that we're going to talk about. Tell us about leaving the BBC and that decision, first of all, after quite a long time. How was that?
Yeah, it wasn't an easy one because, I mean, I love my job. I love the people I work with. And the content that we were creating, it was a very difficult decision. I'd been there, you know, as you say, 18 years. I just felt like I needed a new challenge, really. No other reason than that. I wasn't happy at all. We'd been working in, you know, as part of editor of Five Live Sport the last few years, 3 years with the launch of BBC Sounds and everything. I'd been working very closely with other people in developing new podcast ideas and successful ones like Peter Crouch and the Football Daily. It really got my creative juices flowing again. It's an expanding area of audio. And, you know, I wanted to see what the business side of the podcast industry was like as well. So I did quite a bit of work looking at that, particularly in America. UK market's quite small at the moment, but it's clearly growing. And so I thought, you know, there's an opportunity here with some great content makers that obviously we've brought across to really make a difference in this market. But also, I wasn't going to leave the BBC in a job that I really enjoyed to just become a sort of production company making podcasts for other people. I wanted to build a really robust business and scale it quite quickly. So that's kind of the area of work we've really been doing, is that business side of things, which is obviously I'm not quite as experienced as making content.
So it's called Crowd Network, this new company, and you've got, you know, some seed funding to get you going as well.
Yes. Well, a company called Enigma Holdings have invested £500,000 into the company, which gives us a real good start from the business side of things. It's allowed us to recruit some producers and, you know, build the sort of business in terms of the structure, in terms of finance and legal stuff and marketing and all those things. It's allowed us to, you know, create a business before we launch, or we're launching now. So, you know, it's allowed us to plan to scale quickly as well. And they've offered us a lot of business advice because they work closely with startups. So that's been great. We've also working closely with a couple of Manchester firms, MC2, which is a marketing agency who have also invested, and a law firm, JMW, who are working on our legal stuff. So we've got an incredible support network around the Manchester business community, which has been vital because, you know, myself, Steve Jones and Tom Fordyce, the other two founders, we back ourselves to make great content, but we don't back ourselves to look at a profit and loss spreadsheet or, you know, a legal document to get an agreement in place with talent and other companies and stuff. So it's been, I feel like I've been on a sort of Masters of Business course over the last few months, which has been great and fascinating and interesting and mind-blowing, but it's really exciting. And that's what I always said. I said, we need to have a proper, robust business and not just try and take a flyer.
And the fact that you've got people who've invested such sums of money suggests that they're confident and they believe in you. Why do you think that is? Is that your track records between you?
I think that was certainly part of it because they, you know, they said they're investing in people. So myself, Steve Jones and Tom Fordyce, we have a great track record in audio and most recently in podcasting. So that was certainly part of it. Also the business proposition that we put together as well. And you know, was quite compelling to a point where we had more than one investor interested. We had about three or four, and that was at the heart of the pandemic. But investors see the growth of the podcast market. They see the likes of, you know, Spotify, Apple, Sony all getting involved heavily. You know, they realize that the currency is great content. They know that we can make great content. So, yeah, they were investing in the people, but they were also investing in the industry, which is growing. And, you know, so that was why they got involved. And that was why other people were also interested as well.
So let's talk about the content. Tell us about the kind of things that you're going to be making. I think the first one that's coming out this month is featuring John Bishop. It's going to be about big names and big topics, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very clever idea that John's got, which is a sort of desert island disc with words. Celebrities, yeah, come in and talk about sort of words that mean something to them. It's called Three Little Words. They talk about the words that mean something to them and tell the stories off the back. So we've done episodes of Robbie Williams and Jules Holland and Mel C and a few others. It's really exciting. And it's John Bishop and his friend Tony Pitts, who's a very good actor and director and writer. But what we've said from the start is, and what's most exciting is, we don't want to sort of make one particular genre of podcast. So we're going to be launching seven across September and October. So we're launching one a week from the first week of September all the way through to the end of October. And they are a real varied mix, which you'll find out about as the weeks go past. But, you know, there are clearly, with our sporting backgrounds, there's a couple of ones related to that side of things with personalities based there. But we're also making a couple of non-fiction narrative titles that Tom Fordyce is writing, some of those, and they are absolutely fantastic and compelling, and I think they'll do really well. We've also linked up with an American film director to make a true crime documentary, which we're making as we speak now, which I think will make a big impact in the podcasting market. It's a fascinating story. We're also creating a daily format as well, which will be launched towards the end of October. So we just come up with a lot of ideas and then sort of test the commercial viability of these projects, whether we can actually pull them off. And then we just sort of commission them and create from there. And that's the beauty of what we're doing, because we are very much ideas people and creative people. And, you know, we back ourselves to make great content, but we don't want to just do a very narrow focus. I think everybody expected us to make a load of sport podcasts, which, you know, makes sense, I guess, but we wanted to go down a different journey. We still want to make sport podcasts, but we want to make, you know, for instance, in January, we're going to be launching a history podcast, a politics podcast, another entertainment strand. So we're sort of spreading the ideas around.
And with the sport podcasts at the BBC that have been massively successful and, you know, top of the charts all the time that we've seen over the last few years, things like Savage and Flintoff and the Ping Pong Guy and that Peter Crouch podcast, they've obviously got the BBC's marketing. They're on Sounds. People will find them. They can market them on their own radio stations, as Five Live has done with those in particular. So how do you compete with those when you haven't got a platform like Sounds to get them out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an absolutely fair point. We do have quite a detailed marketing strategy in place. Clearly, you know, we can't buy a slide at the end of Match of the Day, which would always be useful, but there is a plan in place for that. And also the beauty of creating a podcast network, you know, and launching with seven titles means you can cross-promote heavily between your titles. So that's something very important for us. We will be, you know, working closely across social media. You know, having someone like John Bishop is really helpful with his 2 million Twitter followers. You know, so we have plans in place for that. It's an absolutely fair point. What I would say is, you know, the BBC does promote its podcast very, very heavily, which is great. But the ones that are successful are the ones that are really good. So it kind of doesn't really matter how much marketing you put behind if it's not very good. You know, BBC Sounds is hugely successful. And I hope the BBC, as they, I think, are planning, will open BBC Sounds up to non-BBC podcasts in the short term. I think that's really important that they do that as a public service broadcaster. And I think there are plans in place potentially to do that over the next 12 months.
And obviously with your background and Steve and Tommy you mentioned and Louise is your talent director who's also come from the BBC, is your idea solely focused on making podcasts for your own network and distributing via Acast as I think you're going to do? Or is it about also being an indie and making programmes for the BBC and commercial sector and things?
Never say never, but our business model is based purely around making content that Crowd Network owns. I think that, you know, creates a long-term robust business. You know, we want to create high volume, high quality, evergreen content that we own, and that can be continuously monetized via sponsorship, but also potentially ancillary revenue streams in the future, such as live shows, you know, potential TV formats, books, etc. There are a lot of production companies out there making great content for the BBC, and I didn't want to do that particularly. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to have control of our content. We didn't necessarily want to make it and then just hand it over to somebody else. And we think that is a better business model for us as we plan to scale.
And obviously you've been based at Media City. It's a great boost for Manchester having this new company. As I say, you've got a lot of investment. You're aiming to be, I think you've called it Europe's largest on-demand network is your aim. So to have that in Manchester as well, presumably you're taking on producers and people to make some of these content.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Manchester's really important to us. I mean, I'm from Manchester, but Steve, Tom and Louise aren't. But Tom and Steve, they moved up with the BBC in 2011. We're settled in Manchester. Manchester's a really special place. There's a real creative buzz around Manchester. Obviously, the BBC and Media City has intensified that. We've had great support from the local business community and, you know, there's some great local universities here. So it's a very ambitious city. We, from the start, said that we wanted to be based in Manchester and that's really important to us. And I also think it's a good news story for the BBC because when we moved up, in 2011, part of their remit was to grow the independent creative sector in the north. So, you know, us moving from the BBC, obviously, it was tough for a few weeks, maybe, I don't know. But it's, you know, it's part of the BBC's remit to grow that independent sector. And I think with us doing this and hopefully being successful, that's a good news story for the area and for the BBC as well.
And if there's people listening to this who've got ideas for podcasts, presume you want to work with people who've got original content ideas and help them make their podcasts.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm always open to ideas. I mean, there'll be a way of getting in touch via our website, but always interested in working with new people and new ideas and new formats. I think that's the key. I mean, I think the market is getting, it's not saturated because it's not big enough yet, but, you know, there's so many different interview style podcasts out there. I think that, you know, there's success to be had in creating new formats, building new personalities and that sort of thing. So we're absolutely interested in talking to anyone. And if the business model works, then we'll be absolutely all ears.
I suppose there is that danger, isn't it? We talked about the successful podcasts, and it's not just at the BBC, but, you know, from other podcast makers as well. The ones that do well in the charts tend to be the ones who have a big name involved, whether it's David Tennant or Peter Crouch or whoever. There's a danger, isn't there, that we go towards that celebrity-driven podcast stuff just to get the listens all the time, when actually you can make some great original content and it not have a celebrity featured as part of it.
Yeah, I find that a little bit frustrating, to be honest, that the UK market is very much set up for influencer-type podcasts with celebrities. And that's kind of due to the commercial model, because sponsors and advertisers want to be associated with celebrities. Mm. And it kind of doesn't really matter how good the podcast is, because, you know, if you've got a famous person reading out your brand to an audience, and it's quite a cheap way of doing that, then that's really effective. And so there's more and more of those. And that's what sponsors and advertisers want. You've kind of creating a market where the commercial sector have to make those types of content because that's what pays the bills. And it's only the BBC that can make amazing podcasts like Hurricane and The Missing Crypto Queen, because the independents can't do that. They haven't got the money to do that. And the returns on sponsorship and advertising are not big enough, because sponsors and advertisers want to put their money in with, you know, celebrity talent, and you might end up with a sort of split market. And the BBC does, of course, do celebrity podcasts as well, and so they should. But I'd like the commercial independent sector to be rewarded for making really high quality, interesting content that's not celebrity based. We've got two or three titles like that, and we're just going to have to see how they work commercially. And if they don't, then I think we're in a bit of a problem. So, you know, it's up to, you know, we've partnered with Acast, who have been fantastic for us so far and communicating with us at all time and guiding us through this process of how our business model is going to work. But, you know, obviously the proof will be in the pudding, as it were, when we launch and what sponsors want to be associated with what type of podcast. I don't think there'll be a problem with something like John Bishop, but it's the other titles that I think there'll be will test the commercial viability of the UK podcast market.
Absolutely. Well, it's an interesting time, and we wish you lots of luck with your new business just launched this week. So congratulations for getting this far, and best of wishes for the future.
Thanks, Stu. I really appreciate your time.
That was Mike Carr from Crowd Network. Read more about that at radiotoday.co.uk. Just ahead of David Lloyd, a reminder about CleanFeed. If you've not tried it yet, then maybe this is the week to give it a go. If you're doing OBs, interviews, co-hosting a show from somewhere different to normal, broadcasting from home, whatever you're up to, CleanFeed's great. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really, really easy to use, and the quality is great, and you can even record it all within the browser if you're making a podcast or something like that. CleanFeed won't cost anything to get started. There is a completely free version. You can pay for some extra features on the pro version if you want to do that, and you'll be getting on with your first recording or doing a live bit for the radio within a few minutes. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
This week, Radio Air in Leeds closed.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for getting involved with Radio Air over the years. It's been a pleasure. From Leave It to Leeds to Party in the Park, me, Caroline and Ant, and the whole team at Radio Air love you and appreciate you. In a bit, Leeds.
The station launched this week 30 years ago.
Good morning. You're listening to Radio Air, the new independent local radio station for West Yorkshire, broadcasting on 362 metres medium wave and stereo VHF.
Something's in the air.
6:10 on The Breakfast Show.
On Radio Air.
It's a hive of activity down here this morning. I wonder if it'll be like this tomorrow morning. Good morning to Steve Anderson, who wrote to me from Sands Lane, home on Spalding Moor. In York, he said he's picking us up loud and clear.
Not quite clearly enough, though, on that transmitter. Rest in peace, Radio Air. Meanwhile, KISS this week reached its 30th birthday safely. It had been a pirate. It closed down to apply for the licence.
The radio authority said, don't go back on air. Just do not go back on air. There's been so many great applications that we're going to talk to the powers that be and see if we can get some more licences.
These transmissions are in preparation for the new independent local radio service for the area, which will be provided by KISS 100 FM as the IBA's contractor.
3, 2, 1, 12 o'clock. This is Gordon Mack. There are no words to express the way I feel at this moment, so with your permission, I'd just like to get something out of my system altogether. Rihanna! The odds were against us. None of the establishment fancied our chances. But with the force of public opinion and our determination, the authorities had to sit up and listen and take notice.
It's so good, we've just got to take it in what's happening around us. 100 FM, back legally, the original sound of Young London.
The first KISS this week, 30 years ago. Celebrating its 50th anniversary this week, it's good old BBC Radio Bristol.
So, something important is happening right now. I'm sure that BBC Local Radio is here to stay, that this station will rise to its great opportunities, and that it will serve this community faithfully and well, so that on anniversaries many years hence, people will listen with appreciation to recordings of this opening day and say with real interest, well, that's how it all began.
Well, that's how it all began.
Well, of course, we won't always have the AA spotter plane at our disposal, but one vehicle we will have is the radio car. I wonder if you've seen it cruising around Bristol yet. It's out and about this morning, and right now it's on the downs. For further information, let's call up Catherine Adie in the radio car. Hello, Kate.
Hello, and good morning to you from the Bristol Flower Show here on the downs, one of the biggest flower shows in the country. Today's the show's last day. Let's hope that the weather clears up from the fine drizzle we've had since early this morning. Well, fine drizzle or not.
The early moments of Radio Bristol this week in 1970. Very rarely do the BBC's radio services come together. It's either for industrial action.
And you're listening to the BBC Radio's all-network service, designed to keep you up to date with news, current affairs, and entertainment. Normally heard on radios 1, 2, 3, and 4. And in 6 minutes' time, following the news, it's 2 hours of popular classics.
Or it's for a major news story.
This is Radio 1 with the news that Diana, Princess of Wales, has been killed in a car crash in Paris. Her friend, Dodi Al-Fayed, and their driver also died in the accident late last night. There have been tributes from political and world leaders, and crowds of mourners have been gathering at Buckingham Palace and at the Princess's London home, Kensington Palace. There will be news updates throughout the day on Radio 1, and there is a continuous news service on Radio 5 Live on 909 and 693 medium wave.
The chart was on the Sunday afternoon, and I said to Jeff Smith, there's no way we can do a chart today. That's absolutely crazy. Both Jeff and I really thought that there would be a chance that either we would do a chart or Richard at Capital and the network at that point would do the chart. And we persuaded Matthew and Richard to have a conversation. I think we asked Matthew, we said, to the best of my recollection, that they did have a conversation and they decided it would be nuts to do that. And I think we got that one right. But that was a very, very odd day to be on the air because you were doing something you just not expected.
This is Independent Radio News. The death of Diana, Princess of Wales, has been announced in Paris.
It's Monday, the 1st of September, and welcome to XFM, broadcasting on 104.9. We find ourselves starting a radio station today in circumstances we wouldn't have wished due to the tragic death of Diana, Princess of Wales. As a mark of respect to someone who we saw as going her own way, standing apart from the rest, and being a remarkable ambassador in the struggle for the dispossessed, the sufferers of leprosy and AIDS, and the ongoing horror of landmines, we wish to dedicate the activities of our launch day to her memory.
Britain went mad, the whole world went slightly mad, I think, but BBC found itself in a very difficult position because it couldn't ignore this kind of steadily developing mass hysteria, but nor could it feed it.
The death of Princess Diana this week in 1997. It's one of those weeks in history generally when radio has played its role.
This is London. The government have given instructions for the following important announcements. Closing of places of entertainment. All cinemas, theatres and other places of entertainment are to be closed immediately until further notice. They are being closed because if they were hit by a bomb...
Those precautions sound remarkably all too familiar these days, don't they? The BBC, this week in 1939, engineers closed down all transmitters in preparation for wartime broadcasting, and the national and regional programmes became the Home Service. More drama this week, 50 years ago, in pirate radio history. You're on your ship and some people are boarding, and they shouldn't be.
And now the tug, the Husky, from Willemstad, owned by Mr. Herrmann, is now approaching Mebo 2 with approximately 20 men on board, rather large, I might add, and they appear that they're going to attempt to cut the anchor chain on the Mebo 2. We have 6 sailors on this boat, we have 7 disc jockeys, and it doesn't look like we have the size nor the numbers to take care of ourselves. So consequently, we ask anyone and everyone in the Scheveningen area, in The Hague, because that's the closest point for land here, to come out to the Mebo 2 as soon as possible if they're willing to aid in our fight.
Radio North Sea International being boarded this week in 1970. There's been controversy of late about the proms, or at least the press have made some up. It happened again this week in 2011, when protesters disrupted the proms at the Albert Hall owing to an appearance by Israel Philharmonic.
I'm
sorry, that we're unable to continue with our broadcast of tonight's prom by the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra because of disruption in the Royal Albert Hall.
So, with Century Radio Northeast launching 26 years ago...
Good morning, this is John Morgan on Thursday, the 1st of September.
Heart 70 is going on air 1 year ago.
Good morning, this is Carlos, just approaching 8 o'clock on this Friday morning. Heart 70 is here with your non-stop 70s feel-good.
Tony Blackburn taking over the top 40 from Simon Bates 41 years ago.
And welcome to listeners on VHF who have just joined Radio 1, not only for the top 40, but for the rest of this evening.
Ronan and Harriet taking over Magic Breakfast 3 years ago.
Very exciting.
It's so exciting to have you here.
It really is. Great to be with you, Harriet, and looking forward to the next year.
The rest of your life. Yeah.
LBC losing its licence 27 years ago.
Now, how you can help? There are petition forms in our reception area which you can sign.
And the first ever news bulletin on radio, aired on 8MK in Detroit 100 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Wow, 100 years. Thank you, David. And thanks also to Roy Martin and my guest this week, Mike Carr. Join us for another Radio Today programme, same time next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.